morning I want to share with you one verse and what I think as I am led by the Lord to see what Paul had in mind when he wrote these words to the Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 21. We read from the Word of God, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There's something in our culture that we often forget, and that is that we are living with a time bomb. Not really, of course. I'm talking about your body that is going to let you down one of these days. We do not think of it as something deadly because we hear messages every day over radio and TV about how good our bodies are. They also tell us our bodies can be shaped and molded. They can be made beautiful with all kinds of cosmetics, telling us that our bodies are beautiful and that if it happens that yours is not, that right now just give them your attention and you are told how to order their program and within 6 months you will be beautiful also. And then also we are impressed that much progress has been made in the food and medical profession to keep our bodies in shape. And this is true. Medicine has made great strides in overcoming infectious diseases and also tumors. But even though this is true, the process of bodily deterioration has not been checked. It's not happening as it did in my younger years, but the process nevertheless continues. Really, our bodies are a time bomb. And besides this, we seldom think that our bodies are on the way to destruction. For instance, someone our age drops dead of a heart attack. At the first shock, we are reminded of our own possibility. But shortly, our mind goes to work and we think of all kinds of reasons why this will not happen to us. This is just the way you may be thinking right now, because you are a healthy person. But you may also be thinking this way if you are not so healthy. We expect other people will have horrible accidents, but surely not me. Other people will have cancer, but not us. This is denial. But I suppose this is a good thing in one way, because it's not good to live each day in a state of fear. In another way, it's not good, because it binds us to the fact that we are living each day with a time bomb ticking away, and a day will come when something happens to bring us up short. And suddenly, we will see that we are not here forever, no matter what we think. In the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27, we find these words, "It is appointed unto men once to die." It is an appointment we all must experience. We all will answer the call. Today or tomorrow, we all shall leave this planet according to the Word of God, which does not lie. Right now, I want to speak to those who have never actually faced the fact that their lives are short. I want to talk to you because I know how many of you are going to find out that life is really short, and maybe you will find out soon, even if you are young. I read the other day a story, a true story, of a young man who noticed there was something wrong with his body. There was a swelling he did not like, but he felt no pain. He could still play basketball and do everything else he wanted to do, and so he just kept on going, thinking that sooner or later this problem would go away. But it did not go away. Finally, after 8 months, he went to the doctor. He found out he had cancer. 28 years old, and everything stopped for him. He was stunned beyond words. He did not know where to look or what to do. He and his wife cried together, and his friends cried with them. Surely he knew this happened to other people, but he never thought it would happen to him. But it happened to him. And it could happen to you. It happens to people like you and me all the time. No one is immune or exempt. The clock keeps ticking away, and our bodies are aging. And if we are not killed by accident, the day will come when we will have to face up to the fact that our bodies are in the process of dying. When that happens to a person, they find themselves saying, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And when the Lord brings a person to the point where they say, it's me, then it's different. Different from what it ever was before. When the denial I mentioned a few moments ago is suddenly shattered and the bad news comes, what does a person do? Well, the only place to turn to is to the Lord. Now, it could be very well that you don't know anything about the Lord. Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you what He can do for you when all of a sudden you find out your body is dying. But then it could be you do know something about the Lord. Maybe you even go to church and live your religion faithfully. Still you wonder what it would be like if suddenly you were told the bad news about your body. You are living with a time bomb. Not really, of course. I'm talking about your body that is going to let you down one of these days. One of these days, you will see as you have never seen before that your body is passing away. If this has not happened to you yet, now is the time to get ready for the bad news. Ready for the day when the bad news comes, you will be able to rise above the sadness and you will be able to rejoice and praise the Lord in a way you never did before. Well, I have said that the only place to turn when you discover you are in serious trouble physically is to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do you get to Him? How can you reach out and find Him? For sure, it's not easy for a person who has not been living with God at all. But you know what? It's not easy either for a person who has been praying and reading the Bible and talking with God. It's not always so easy for anyone to turn to God when finding out that he or she, not someone else, is in mortal danger. I believe God helps us find Him through other people who, like us, have gone through this fear and have found wonderful comfort in the sustaining grace of God. The Psalms in the Old Testament are full of testimonies that tell us how a person can go through the deepest fear and know that God will bring him through to safety. Psalm 4 and verse 8 we read, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Psalm 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Seems to me these verses were written for us when we are plagued with fear. For we read in Psalm 118 and verse 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Verse 18, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over to death. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and who understand the Bible message are able to say, I will not die, but live. And so God uses people to lift up those who are plagued with fear. The great missionary of the early church, the Apostle Paul, shares with us his story of mortal combat. Once, he tells us, he was thrown out of a city, beaten and left for dead. I read his words in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. His words are, in labors more often, in prisons frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews received I 40 stripes, save once. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul's words I have read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Again and again, he could not see daylight, and yet he faced his own death realistically. Once, when he was in great danger of his life, he wrote something that could help us when we find that death may be a lot closer than we thought. This was when in the jail at Philippi, and he knew he could very well be killed by the Romans. He also knew that he already lived long and had done much in his master's service. From this imprisonment, he writes to his friends in the city of Philippi these words, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He continues, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Let's carefully note two very important statements he makes about what it means to die. One is, he says, that to die is gain. The second one is, it is far better to go and to be with Christ than to stay here in this world. I can hear someone say concerning these words by the apostle that ordinary people like us should not be expected to say what Paul said. After all, life is sweet. Very good and sweet, and we have many good and precious relationships with our loved ones. Well, that may be very well and easy to say when you are feeling good, and you do not expect there is anything wrong with you. But when the news comes that you find out there is something wrong with you that could kill you, then it's very important to say and to understand what the apostle was talking about. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's better to depart and be with Christ. How could Paul have said that? First of all, he was absolutely sure he had an everlasting future because of Jesus' resurrection. He knew that because Jesus is alive, all who believe in Jesus Christ will live forever. In his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, he wrote in verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that sleep." In this 15th chapter, he tells us that those who believe in Jesus will follow him into glory. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are in Christ at his coming." For a long time, this man Paul did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He started his career hating Jesus. When he first heard about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he felt that Jesus was the worst enemy of true religion that there was. And when after Jesus' death, his followers said that he had risen from the dead and that everyone should believe in him in order to be saved, Paul reacted with bitter hatred. As a religious leader in his day, he went into action against the followers of Jesus, throwing them into prison and trying to get them to deny their love of the Savior. But the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ met this man who hated Christ, and he also hated Christians an awful lot. This account we can read in Acts chapter 9. This meeting of Jesus with Paul on the Damascus Road is written for us as a turning point in the progress of the church. The result of that meeting was a change in Saul's life, who became the Apostle Paul. And it was the beginning of the foundation of the worldwide growth of the Church of the Lord. The point here is this. Paul saw Jesus. Jesus' appearance to the apostle was a devastating and a brilliant experience. Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. "And as Paul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." The reality of the presence of Christ was the reason that made this man what he was. He lived with Christ, and he knew Christ would never forsake him. That is why he said that for him living was actually Christ. And that is what Paul thought. did and said, and it was a reflection of his closeness with Jesus Christ. It was the blood of Jesus that paid for his sin. It was the Spirit of Christ that enabled Paul to do his work. It was Jesus, 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 in all and through everything. And Paul was sure death was not going to separate from the love of God that had been revealed to him in the Lord Jesus Christ. The closing verses of Romans 8 say how this man felt united to God and filled with the love of God through the work of Jesus Christ. Let's see how he says it. He writes, "For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, not things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Because of this faith in the living Christ, Paul was able to be strong in the face of death. He was sure that Christ was not going to abandon him. And he also knew that even though it seems overwhelmingly sad to think about leaving this life as we know it, in fact, those who believe in Jesus are sure there is something on the other side of what we call death that is much, much better than the life we now experience. And Paul believed this because he saw the resurrected Jesus. He had a special privilege to have a glimpse of the realities of heaven. In his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, Paul tells us how this happened. He seems to be writing about someone else, but most likely he is talking about himself. He wrote, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. But I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell." I have read from the New International Translation. Paul tells us here that he saw and heard things about heaven that were permanent in his mind and in his heart. God gave him a glimpse of heavenly realities. It is possible to see the realities of heaven, though very few people are given that privilege. I say it is possible to see these realities because they are realities. Paul wrote to the Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." There is a heavenly kingdom awaiting those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I assure you, on the basis of the Bible's clear testimony, that is just what is waiting believers in that place of unspeakable glory. The Christian's view of heaven is not a "I hope so" thing found in other religions. This heavenly realm of which I speak is a place where there is no sin, where all tears are wiped away, where there is no more growing old and no more sorrow or dying. To be sure, it is impossible for us to touch the glory which God has in store for his people, but God has graciously provided us with a glimpse of what it is going to be like, and I suggest the Apostle Paul's vision of that place is about the best and most helpful. Because of what he saw, he tells us it's far better to be with Christ. It is so much far better that it is gain. Do you believe that is so? That is the important question. I started off this morning by talking about the time bomb ticking away, our bodies that sooner or later fail us as they fall to the corruption working in them, even as I speak to you right now. There's no escape. No one, you or me, no one is exempt from the process of physical deterioration. No age group is free from disease and death. Because this is so, it is essential that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that we know with unwavering faith that Jesus Christ will take you and me through whatever happens into a reality which is far better than this life. Now you ask, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Believing in Jesus means that a person confesses his sins and that he or she believes Jesus Christ has paid for those sins on Calvary's cross. Believing in Jesus means trusting in him, praying to him, living and trusting him. I mention trusting him because that is what faith is. It is not just a formal assent or intellectual acceptance of certain truths. It is the total casting of yourself on Jesus Christ with the full assurance that Jesus will take you through whatever life may bring you, and that he will bring you to a better life. It is far better to live in the heavenlies now, in the heavenly realm, than it is here. That is not fantasy. It's a fact. It contradicts the way we ordinarily feel. You know, all things are going so good, how can anything be better? In spite of all that, it is true. It is much better over there. And when the bad news comes and the doctor tells you the road ahead is very uncertain, and tears begin to come and you hold on to those who are dear to you and you hold on desperately, then, my dear people, it is so important that when you are stricken, fearful and wounded, that you have the assurance that you are traveling and are approaching something exalted, something beyond your imagination. To the believer in Jesus Christ, can I say God has for the believer a great surprise that we can know very little about, but we are sure that it is better than anything in this world. There is a better life than this one. That is true no matter how good you have it. And so the question is to every one of us, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Do you trust him? I remind you again, every single word one of us is moving closer to the day when the end of this life will surely come. For those who believe in Jesus, that day will be the beginning of something far better than anything we have ever had on this planet. It will be far better than anything you have ever known in this world. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How about you, my friend? Where do you stand? Do you believe in him? Believe in Jesus, and you will have joy unspeakable. And when the time of departure comes, and it will surely come, and when the time of departure comes, God will assure you that when you trust in Jesus Christ, your future is filled with glory. You know, my fear is gone. I hope yours is too. I'm looking forward to going home. Are you?